Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and I want to thank all of you for your wonderful response that we had for the program we had with Rabbi Dr. Harvey Belovsky. And because of that, I decided to have another person on, Mr. Mark Schreck, who is a matrimonial attorney and working in the court system for a while, and very familiar with this. And so I thought we'd kind of look at it from a different angle. Mark, how are you?
Good, thank God. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing very, very well. Good. So I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at the article that Rabbi Dr. Harvey Belovsky is actually writing for us in the Jewish Action, which should be coming out very shortly. But he has some really interesting ideas about why we have such a high divorce rate today in the Orthodox Jewish community. So why don't you give me some of your thoughts? I mean, after reading the article, do you agree with some of his
I do agree with him, even though, like he said, he's on the other side of the pond. I think that there were a lot of similarities to what's going on in London, England, and the United States of America. Although here, of course, things are a little different. I think that there's a lot more pressure here, keeping up with the Joneses, and there are a lot of emotional issues, as I'm sure there are elsewhere, but I think that there are a lot of problems that are, uniquely American or New York or the metropolitan area, however you want to describe it, that result in the divorce rate being what it is among from Jews today.
So you're, as an attorney, as someone who worked in the court system, what do you think is the major reason that we're, first of all, are we seeing so many more divorces compared to a few years ago? And two, how does that fit into the general population as far as where everyone is as far as divorce rate?
Right, well, it's commonly known that the divorce rate in general is about 40 to 50%, even though that seems kind of high. I have been seeing a lot of frum people getting divorced, although I represent both frum and non-frum or Gentile clients. I see especially a lot of younger people getting divorced, people in their late 20s, early 30s, perhaps with a couple of kids, perhaps without any kids. It really pains me, even though I'm a divorce lawyer. As they say in, divorce, the only people that are making out on this are the lawyers. But when I see so many frum people in a courtroom or, in the courthouse lobby, and I'm not just talking about, extremely modern people. I'm talking, it runs the gamut from Hasidim to Haredi to modern Orthodox to conservative. It's a very sad feeling, and it seems as if we're not doing something right, either in educating our children or doing something at home. But it's not a good situation.
And are the numbers that much higher than in general society?
It's really hard. I don't know if it's so much higher. I mean, certainly divorce is much less taboo than it was in the the 50s or 60s. And I think in a lot of ways, people have been coasting throughout their youth. Everybody does what they do. And then sometimes the attitude is, well, if it doesn't work out, mommy and daddy will fix it. And they're really not prepared for marriage. This is a major life change. This isn't like going to camp or going to Israel for the year. I mean, you're actually going to be living with a person and having to compromise. There are all kinds of issues that come up. So I think that it definitely is much more prevalent than it was in the past and much more accepted than it was in the past.
And what about the dating scene? I mean, Rabbi Belovsky talks about that a little bit and says that perhaps that's one of the reasons. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's not good for people to be dating, three or four times and then getting engaged. I think that if we trust our children and we try and raise them as responsible people, that they will make the right decisions. And, if they need more time to get to know a person, and they should get to know a person in different settings, then that's the way to go. I recently read an article by, I think, Rabbi Stephen Pruzanski, who wrote that he was going to a lot of weddings recently of people that had known each other over a long period, in a longer period of time. And he was noting that that's a good thing. And that's perhaps, the way to go. Certainly we don't want people to be dating, and have like an Upper West Side situation where people are friends and know each other for eons. But there has to be some sort of medium between going out three or four times and, being together for years. And I think that that is a problem, and I think we need to get the rabbanim behind this to say that it's okay to get to know somebody in different situations, and it's okay not to rush.
You know, I asked him a question about whether people should be going out, you know, with different partners, dating, until they reach a certain point when they think it may be serious. And he disagreed with me and said, no, he thought that you should really try. If you're going out with somebody, you should really see if that's going to work. But I just see in the whole dating scene, this is takes forever. And then by the time you turn around, a year's gone by and someone's gone out four times.
I don't see anything wrong with dating more than one person in the beginning stages of dating. Of course, if you're serious with somebody, you're not going to want to go out with another person. I think that Rabbi Belovsky was perhaps concerned that people might compare and contrast and be too quick to dispense with one potential mate because they are excited about the statistics or, you know, of another. So that might be detrimental to the process. But generally speaking, I don't think it's wrong for people to be exposed to, you know, to more than one person at a time. And I've seen a trend of even older single people who have this thing in their head that they can only go out with one person at a time. And I think that that perhaps is a mistake.
Okay. So, you know, you're in the business. So you go to a wedding and you're sitting there and everybody is, you know, misameach, the chasen and kala. And you're sitting there as a professional saying, I give this marriage a 1 out of 10, a 3, a 12, a 6. What is it?
Give out my card, right?
So what is it? When you go to a wedding, you're sitting there, you know, you're looking at it from a different perspective completely. So what do you see? Which are the ones that trouble you the most?
The ones that trouble me the most are the very young, the ones that didn't know each other from before, that had gone out maybe very few times. Perhaps the, you know, husband or the wife was a very different person before they went to Israel for the year and now have changed dramatically. From what I've seen, it might be only a matter of a couple of months or a couple of years until that person changes back to the way they once were, which is not, you know, what this marriage is supposedly premised on. Perhaps the children aren't, you know, the ones that aren't as educated, aren't as set in their ways that is a, you know, a little cautionary. But, you know, I don't sit there at weddings and guess how long the people are going to stay together because I don't know the people usually that well. But I would be troubled by the very young, the ones that have not really gotten to know each other over a long period of time. I'm much more comfortable with the ones that have known each other for an extended period of time.
But yet you yourself, I'm sure, sometimes are surprised when you hear that a particular couple is getting divorced.
Yes.
Why is that? Like, what happened in that situation that even you would say, wow, I never expected that. I didn't know that was going to happen. So what do you think?
Right. What happened?
You
know, sometimes it could even be issues with not just the couple, but with the in-laws meddling into the marriage. There could be issues of emotional issues that were either swept under the rug or purposely not disclosed that have arisen. You know, people have anxiety. People are on certain medications that are not necessarily disclosed. People might have tendencies to drink. Not to digress, but I'm told nowadays that people bring their own bottle. You know, people that are bring their own bottles to be misameach lechasen and kal. They bring their own bottles to weddings, which is an unbelievable thing. There are a lot of issues that come about, and it could be money. People are just not prepared, have not learned over their many years in yeshiva and camp, and in their parents' home, they haven't learned how to compromise and how to make decisions, and how to be reasonable and how to build a Jewish home, and not to be in it for oneself, but to be in it for the for the big picture, which is to have a bias neman b'Yisrael and to have children who are raised in Torah and Yerushalayim.
So how do we do this? I mean, is it the parents? Is it the school?
The parents are not doing their jobs. I think the parent, it has to be in the home for sure. You know, parents do their best, but it has to be, you know, the parents have to step up and talk about this more. And, you know, as Rabbi Belovsky had mentioned, parents are looking for wealth, perhaps, and yichus, and social advancement. And I think the parents need to take a step back and say what we really want for our children is a healthy and happy marriage that are not based on any of these factors. If they're there, great, but if not, it's meaningless when it comes down to it. And I think that the yeshivas have to stress this more and teach people. We have to go back to, you know, midos and compromise. And, you know, we live in a generation where it's me, and we have to, you know, fight against that. And the rabbanim have to be behind this. And instead of talking so much about other things that are important, you know, ritualistic things, which are certainly important, there has to equally be an emphasis on shalom bayis, normal, bein adam l'chavero type of issues, how one deals with a spouse, because I think that we've allowed, you know, the general culture to see to our from community, and we can't let that happen if we want the Jewish people to thrive.
Okay, so it's really preparation and education, and you think the job of also the rabbanim who are involved to educate couples properly before they get married, because otherwise, you know, we're in for trouble.
Right. I mean, I think that you know, a person that deals with a couple when they're about to get married is really not going to change their mind about getting married, or I think at that point it's too late. But I think that we need Achdus, and we need the different Jewish organizations in a way to come together and to emphasize this. And I think this is something that we really can all get together about, because it affects all of us. And maybe this should be some sort of a curriculum or something needs to be done, because if it's left alone, it's really, really not a good situation.
And you see the problem getting worse or staying the same, getting better?
I see the problem staying the same. You know, it's hard to really tell. There aren't really statistics. You know, the courts don't maintain statistics by how many from people are getting divorced. You know, you could go into the courthouse and type in, and, you know, Jewish-sounding names, and, you know, you might come up with a lot of people. But it's really hard to tell exactly how many from people are getting divorced. But just from my own eyeballing, you know, the situation in Supreme Courts, you know, throughout New York and in, you know, Nassau counties, it's very high. And not only divorces, but just family problems. You could see in the family courts issues with drugs and alcohol and criminal matters, neglect and abuse. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look around and I'm looking around to see if, you know, we could have a minion in the courthouse because there are so many, unfortunately, people in this situation. So, you know, we need to go back to basics and see what could be done to stem the tide of this type of behavior. Because it's a chilul Hashem for all kinds of people to see what the Jewish people who, you know, are visibly, you know, dressed a different way and are supposed to be held to a, you know, higher a standard, are acting in many ways no better than the general population.
But do you think the expectation that we have, you know, to as far as financing and living a certain kind of lifestyle has contributed to this?
Definitely, definitely. I think people are totally unprepared. Mommy and daddy pay for everything. They don't have, you know, responsibility. And like I had said earlier, and if the marriage doesn't work out, well, you know, I guess it'll be fixed. Or mommy and daddy will fix it, and they'll find me another spouse. There's also a lot of peer pressure. You know, their friends are getting married. You know, if you're a certain age and you're not married, you know, you feel even more intense pressure. You know, it's a whole industry, marriage. If you look at, for instance, Only Simchas, you'll see people, put all kinds of postings on the, you know, it's like a fun kind of thing. I'm sure now there's Twitter is involved and tweeting. It's you know, it's a whole industry. The expectations, because of the, you know, of we're living in a country that has provided, you know, well for us, and there are many affluent from people, the expectations are very high. But, you know, I'm seeing now a lot of divorces where people, you know, simply are living above their means, and they have several children, and the children need to be supported, and the wife might need to be supported because she's not working. She got married with the understanding that she would take care of the kids, and the husband simply doesn't have the income to pay what the wife wants and what she might be entitled to by law, and it's an intractable problem. And, you know, the husbands are miserable, the wives are miserable, nobody's happy. except, like I said, the lawyers.
Oh, yeah, the lawyers are always happy. Cause,
but the lawyers can't get paid if the couples don't have any money.
This is also true. I mean, one of the things that Robert Belosky mentions, and this is I find this all the time, is that when you reach a certain age, there's tremendous pressure also. And, you know, sometimes you marry the wrong person for the wrong reason because you just want to get married at that point in time.
Right, right.
But you were saying really that you really think the problem really is in really younger people, not so much the older people who are getting married, somebody who's a little bit more mature, but it's the people who don't have a lot of life experience and now find themselves in a new chapter of life, totally unprepared for anything at all, what this necessitates, correct?
Correct, and I think that they went to elementary school and high school, and then they were shipped off to Israel, and they might have stayed in Israel for a couple of years. Not that Israel is bad, Israel is good, but when they come back, they're expected right away to date, and they're unsure of what they want to do career-wise. And they may be presented with a husband or, you know, vice versa that, appears very firm on the surface and is into things. But I've seen, you know, not only in my profession, but just in living in different neighborhoods, how after a while those things seem to wear off. And, then you're in a situation where if the basics aren't there, if the basic love and understanding and compromise and compassion isn't there, there's going to be a major problem. And then it's going to be very difficult for these people to remarry with the obligations that they have amongst themselves and the children that have come into this. I mean, it's really the children that get hurt in all of this.
Have you spoken about this to rabbis, educators? What kind of response have they given you?
Well, I've spoken at the OU roundtable that we had in the Young Israel of Midwood a month or so ago. With Rabbi Weinreb and Assemblyman Simberwitz. And it was echoed by Rabbi Goldwasser. I know Rabbi Twersky was at the meeting, by many of the experts that were there on drugs and alcohol. This is not a fringe problem. This is a serious problem. Look, there are many happy marriages. I don't want to, make you feel as if nobody's happy, everybody's miserable, and everything is going to pot. But I do think that this is a very serious problem that needs to be addressed. And it's, for some reason, not being sufficiently addressed at home and in the schools and by the Rabbanim in the various communities.
Okay, well, listen, we're certainly going to continue to talk about this, but it's going to be people like you, activists, who are going to go out, who are going to help make some changes so that couples who do get married have the proper training, and at least they have a shot at making it work, because otherwise, the odds are against them. So we'll keep trying, and thank you so much for being on the program, Mark. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me, Steve.
It's my pleasure. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.